Welcome all of you. It is indeed Happy Easter. And thank you for the Saegwang Kyo's choirs to bless all of us with your wonderful voices. And I always find it's difficult to follow after the choir to preach. But it is true, it is always difficult to preach in this occasion. Our preachers find Easter is one of the really a difficult occasion to preach because all we are here to say is Christ is risen, and you would say in response, He is risen indeed, and we can all go home, right? But I needed to say a few words, and let us pray. Gracious and loving God, open our hearts to us today, so we may receive the spirit of life that you sent us after Christ was resurrected, and we may receive the very life that Christ conquered death, and then give us this eternal life that we will never be able to deserve it. But you gave that eternal life because you call us by our name and you call us the children of God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock, our redeemer. In your name we all pray. Amen. So just like I announced it, I have come this morning to make an announcement to you. And I feel like that most of you understand that, I hope so, and are looking forward to that announcement because I know the banquet downstairs is waiting for us. But before I make that announcement, I at least needed to acknowledge that sometimes life has a way of turning our dreams into nightmares. We start out with great hopes, and we look forward to the days to come. And then plans changed. People let us down, or we let ourselves down. And life has a way of becoming a nightmare. All of a sudden, there is death in the family, and the family really feels like it's a nightmare. And you suddenly find out your friend just got the news that he or she has a cancer. And you feel like all of a sudden it's a nightmare. You just want to wake up next day and find out that it didn't happen. And you and I know how life can do that to us. And we're very painfully familiar with the beautiful solo from the Broadway musical, Les Miserables, when Fantine sings, I dreamed a dream in days gone by. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed. And I know what you all are thinking this morning. Pastor Sui, why are you such a Debbie Downer today? It's Easter. Look at the lilies on the altar and look at outside. It's a beautiful day. We have 82-degree day today. And we're all comfortable sitting in the sanctuary. Sometimes we feel a little bit chilly. We're here to hear the announcement and to rejoice it. I get it. We're going to get to that announcement. But for me, in order for us to appreciate this Easter celebration, we first look back and remember where we've been. Over the last 40 days, we have been on a journey together. And last week, during the Holy Week, we have gone from waving palms, claiming Hosanna in the highest, bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord, to the Last Supper in the upper rooms, to the Roman cross on a hill called Golgotha. And that night in the upper room, we reflected on the Last Supper. It was a sacred and holy time. And the part of the reason that it is a sacred and it's holy, because it was the Last Supper. It was the last time that disciples and Jesus would be together. And if you noticed it or not, but the choir just has summed up beautifully those 40 days of journeys with us. And when we gather at the table of the sacrament of the Holy Communion, we say to each other in liturgy, this meal is special. This time is holy and sacred. We reminded each other that this meal is a sacred, holy, not because it is our last time together on earth, but because we're all together right now. It's a shame that the prism of death is what we need to look through in order to recognize how precious, how sacred, and how holy this life is. But that's one of those lessons that we learn in Lent. And last Friday, we reflected on the death of the Christ on the cross, and we heard the passion story. And I'm sure you remember hearing that Judas, who betrayed Jesus, and Simon Peter, who even denied knowing Jesus three times. After Judas betrayed Jesus, he went out and hung himself. But Simon Peter went on to find redemption. He became a leader in the first century church. So what's the difference? And I heard that one pastor explained it this way. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he couldn't look into his face. And he couldn't look into Jesus' eyes, so he kept his head down. He did what he had to do. And then he was gone. But Simon Peter, according to the scripture, when he heard that rooster crowed after his third denial, Simon Peter looked up, and his eyes met Jesus' eyes. And what he saw was love and compassion and grace. And that made all the difference in Simon Peter's life. And that is the same for us. When we cast our eyes upon Jesus, when we look full in his wonderful face, the things of the earth grow strangely dim. The light, his glory, and his abundant grace. And we experience what Simon Peter experienced then. And these are the lessons that we learned from the 40 days of Lent. Prominent Christian writer Barbara Brown Taylor says in her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, that we in the church seem to be obsessed with the light. She said it is her experience that you can learn as much about God or even more in the dark because God does some of his best work in the dark. And that brings us to our scripture lesson for today. As the Sabbath is ending, before first light, two Marys, one Mary Magdalene, the other the Mary, they went to the tomb. That is Matthew's way of telling us that it was still dark outside. And that the two Marys traveled from their house to the tomb in the dark. What were they going to do? They had spices with them. And they were going to enter that dark tomb, and they're going to unravel Jesus' body from the linen cloths, and they were going to wash his body and adorn it with spices and herbs, and then rewrap it. And why were they going to do that? So someone had suggested that they knew that it was done previously by two men, and probably not done well at all. So it seems that things have not changed through centuries, have they? Everything needs women's hands, our proper work. And think about that. These women ventured in the dark to a dark tomb. And their efforts were rewarded, for God is at work in the dark, and it's been that way for centuries. And we're told that in Genesis, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. Everything in its existence came into being. Then where was God when God created heavens and the earth? God was in the dark. And we're told in Exodus, when the Israelites were delivered out of Egypt, it happened one dark night. God was at work in the dark. When Jesus was born and there were some shepherds on a hillside keeping watch over their flock by night, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them. "Fear not, for behold that I bring you a good tidings of a great joy to all people. For unto you is born in the city of David, Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus was born at night in Bethlehem. And today we come to celebrate God who continues to work in the dark. Jesus was resurrected out of the tomb, out of the darkness. God is at work in the dark. And so that brings me to the announcement that you've been waiting for so long. The announcement that I came to bring you is this. God reigns. The tomb is empty and Christ is alive. And we have no reason to fear. God reigns. And I can tell you, especially when we have three congregations together, you know, there are fear out there. There are fear in our hearts. We know what's going on out there in the world and what kind of anxious world it is. It has become recently. Our brothers and sisters are afraid of coming out of their houses because of the immigration raids are going on. And our Korean brothers and sisters, I assume that you're at least praying for those who we know and related to us in the Korean Peninsula. There are tensions there. We might got used to it because we had those crazy dictators, one after another, but tensions are great. And even in Pleasantville, there was one student who killed himself last week. It was a prominent student, a good basketball player. So there are group of high school students who are mourning this week and today. They needed to hear this word. God reigns. Our God reigns. So that we can now be fully alive. I want to tell you about St. Paul Chapel in New York City, since we're in such close proximity that I think you can probably have a tour one day and visit the site. St. Paul Chapel is a part of the Trinity Episcopal Church on Wall Street. It is an old historic chapel. It was finished in 1766, and as a matter of fact, when George Washington was inaugurated as the first president of the United States, he went to St. Paul's Chapel to pray after the inauguration ceremony. It has a great history in our nation. So on that day, September the 11th, 2001, though St. Paul is situated across the street from the Twin Towers, when they came down, the chapel was not damaged. The stained glass windows did not even break. On Friday, September the 14th, President George Bush asked every church in the nation to ring its bells at noon on that Friday. So the rector in Trinity on Wall Street contacted his engineers and said, "Go down to St. Paul and ring that chapel bell at noon." And one of the chief engineers, Mike, said, "Dr. Matthew, that's not possible. You don't know what it's like down there. We can't get down there, and probably we can't get to the bell tower." But an hour later, he called the rector and said, "I just want to let you know that we were able to get down there. We were able to get into the chapel, and we were able to get our way up to the chapel, the bell tower. When we got there, I rang the bell 12 times at noon. And when I came down out of the bell tower, I was told that police officers, firemen, and rescue volunteers who were there all stopped the work. and heard the bell, stood in silence. They took their hats off, covered their hearts. He said, "Dr. Matthew, it was as though that bell was a sounding, God reigns. Even in the midst of this hell, God reigns." So I want you to know, for last 15 plus years, that chapel bell at St. Paul has rung every day at noon. God reigns. And I suspect that this is the message some of you needed to hear today. Maybe you yourselves are going through some difficult time. But what I want you to know is God reigns. So don't give up. God reigns. So don't lose hope and don't give in to despair. God does some of his best work in difficult times in the darkness. I also this morning want to deputize you. You may know somebody who's going through a difficult time. They've experienced the disappointment, pain, and suffering, or maybe sudden illness in their own life. And you hurt for them. You ache for them. And what I want to ask you to do is go to them. Ask them how they are doing and really listen to them. I was speaking to my, good friend yesterday, and she shared with me as she ages, she has learned to listen to her mom and her dad telling her the same story over and over and over again. Some of our elderlies probably understand you may caught yourself in the midst of it, but we youngsters do remember how many times you repeated that story. And when we're young, we might just yell it back at you like, "Mom, you just told that story like 10 times. Can we get over it? Just get to the chase, But as we age and mature, we learn to listen. And I really want you to be there to listen to your families, to listen to your friends, because I have to tell you, as being a pastor, I experienced a lot of death in this season's change. That's when some of our folks don't make it. It's difficult. Maybe all of you are well, then you would remember, look back at this time. Yes, I didn't know that would have been the last time that we would go to church together. I didn't know. So I want you to be with those people who are really in need of you, you Christians, and pray for them. And then when it is appropriate, tell them God reigns. So do not give up. Don't give in to despair because God reigns. And you ask me if I believe that. Not only I believe it, I stake my life to it. And I believe it with every fiber of my being so that I can preach. This is what I preach every single day. God reigns, so there is hope. We live because he lives. And what I want you to know that is that life can certainly sometimes kill our dreams, but our Lord, our risen Lord, has a way of bringing dreams back to life and us along with it. Do you believe that? If you do, I would like for you to stand with me today. 다 같이 일어나셔서 부활의 신앙을 믿으시는 모든 성도님들 사도신경으로 신앙 고백하시겠습니다. And we will recite together the Apostles' Creed, and it is printed on your screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.